This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the health news and nutrition channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Reagan Jones, a registered dietitian and culinary nutritionist with Cabot Creamery Cooperative. Reagan, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
And you're more than welcome. Thanks for joining us. So tell us about Cabot Creamery Cooperative for the listeners, something listeners may not know about to kick things off today.
Well, Cabot Creamery Cooperative, and cooperative is in the name, it is the most important part to remember, is a cooperative of farm families in the New England and upstate New York area. And what this means for people who already know and love Cabot for the high quality cheddar cheese that they make, all of the profits and the proceeds from the sale of our cheddars, our award-winning cheddars, actually go back to our farm families. So for me as a consumer, you know, I want a couple of different things from the foods that I buy. I want them to be wholesome, nutritious, taste good, and if along the way I can help a good company do good things, that's what I want from the people that I do business with, and that's what happens when people are purchasing Cabot Creamery cheeses.
Now, taking a look at the family and our daily activities, what are some simple steps listeners can take towards less stressful family meals?
Well, you know, I, as a registered dietitian and a mom of two boys, I completely understand the struggle that families have when they want to put dinner on the table, but they feel stressed out with the process. And there's a lot of tools and tips and things that you'll hear, but I can tell you, as a registered dietitian of 20 years, the number one tip that will help you the most is to actually plan out your menus for the week. And that can sound a little overwhelming and daunting if you're thinking about trying to plan every meal, but it doesn't really have to be that way. I say set realistic goals and say to yourself, if we're able to eat dinner together as a family 3 nights a week, then you want to make sure when you're going to the grocery store for your weekly shopping trip that you have a list in mind of what you're going to be making for dinner, what you need to serve with that dinner. And that helps you, one, at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock when you're getting home from sports practices or after-school activities, know exactly what you're going to eat. You've got a plan for what to eat. You've got a refrigerator and a pantry stocked with those ingredients. And then you set up the expectation for family members that come in and want to just eat out of the pantry that, hey, you know, dinner's going to be ready in 15, 20, 30 minutes. And that really, I've seen with my own family, helps to minimize a lot of that stress. And the bonus is it helps keep your grocery bill down and helps you avoid food waste because you're buying only what you need to put those meals on the table that you've already planned for.
Some great tips, and thanks for sharing those. We really appreciate that. Now, what are some kid-friendly assignments listeners can give children to make them a part of meal preparations?
Well, you know, children at any age can help with the basics of setting the table, clearing the table, filling up water glasses with water or ice or sometimes beverages. You know, those are, I know for my own children, I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and those are things that we work at every meal to make them understand that mom may be cooking the dinner, but it's not just mom's responsibility. It's a family process. So those are small things that they can do. But there are also things actually in the kitchen with meal prep that children can do and can begin to learn. And it's not only important because it helps mom out, but most importantly, helps begin to give them that sense of ownership in taking care of their bodies and prepping healthy food. And those types of activities would be things like tearing up lettuce for salads, especially for small children who might not want to put, you know, sharper utensils in their hands. You know, tearing up lettuce for salads, certainly tossing salads, even if mom or dad have done some of the prep for cutting up the fruits and vegetables, washing berries, washing fruits in a colander, that's always a good activity. And then for older children that, you know, understand a hot stove, there's things like stirring things that are on the stove, even even helping take older children can help take things in and out of the oven. There's really not, other than some knife skills and using sharp objects, there really aren't a lot of activities that you just absolutely can't have children do, as long as you're giving them a lot of guidance and you're standing there with them. I mean, I certainly caution against, like I said, anything that involves a sharp knife or anything that involves a hot oven, unless you're talking about an older child who you can really give them sort of advanced directions.
Today we are visiting with Reagan Jones, a registered dietitian and culinary nutritionist with Cabot Creamery Cooperative here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Nutrition Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Reagan, what are a few healthy tips or substitutions to keep in mind when cooking?
Well, one of the things that you always want to think about is adding more fresh fruits and vegetables to your meals. And, as a registered dietitian, that is something that I certainly always am working with clients and the public to understand that when you add in fresh fruits and vegetables, you're really going to be reducing the calories in your dishes and upping the fiber. And those are two things that just automatically improve the overall nutrition. But even beyond that, there's things that you can do to reduce the calories in baked goods, for instance. I know that I am a baker and I love to bake, but if I'm consistently doing that with heavy amounts of oil and heavy amounts of cream and heavy amounts of butter, it may taste great. And there's a time and a place for that. But sometimes you really want to cut your calories a little bit. And one of the best ways to do that is to use Greek-style yogurt. I know here at Cabot, we make an award-winning Greek-style yogurt that when you pick up the package, we actually have on the package a Greek yogurt substitution guide. And it helps you see places that you can make changes. So maybe using a little less butter in a pound cake and using some Greek-style yogurt. I have a Greek-style yogurt pound cake that I make for my family that does just that, where I use some of the Greek-style yogurt in place of some of the butter, and it reduces the calories, reduces the fat, but still has tons of flavor. So, look for that. That's certainly one of the first things that you can do. And then also, I would just encourage people that if you've never given Cabot's light cheddars a try, Cabot makes award-winning light cheddars that when used in place of full-fat cheddar can really help reduce the fat and calories in some of your traditional dishes. I know last night with my family, it was we had tacos. It was Taco Tuesday, and I used Cabot's reduced fat pepper jack, and nobody in my family can tell any difference. I mean, I'm a registered dietitian that believes that taste comes first, so I would never advocate for someone to try a reduced fat cheese that didn't taste great. But if you can try one like Cabot's cheddar that's made from 2% milk, then essentially you're getting fewer calories, a little bit less fat, but you're still getting all that bone-building calcium and that muscle-building protein, and most importantly, that great taste that comes along with cheddar cheese.
No doubt about that. Now, if we're being honest here, family dinners are nice, but it certainly doesn't happen as often as most of us would like. What are some ways to make the time together at the table count?
The most important thing about family dinners is just the act of sitting down together as a family, disconnected from electronics, disconnected from distractions, and just having some open dialogue. Even as a registered dietitian, I'll admit that I don't think it's as important what you're putting on your plate as taking the time to actually sit down together and talk. So with the realities of busy schedules by mom and dad and kids, the first thing that I say is just identify, if right now you're not eating dinner together as a family at all, identify one night that you can do that and that you set aside. So that's the first place, is to just really start small. Then the other thing that I tell families is look and see if there's another time to eat a meal together that may not be dinner. I know here at my house with a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, ironically, mornings are some of our best time together. You'd think with children that they wouldn't be ready to get up and have conversation for the day, but my family happens to be an early rising family and our school starts a little bit later. So we make breakfast a time to sit down together. And then the other thing is that if you're not able to sit down together at home and have dinner together, there's nothing wrong with, instead of going through a drive-thru, actually going into whatever restaurant you're choosing and just taking a few minutes to eat together. Again, it is about the process of disconnecting from electronics, especially with children these days, and mom and dad, disconnecting from your electronics, disconnecting from work distractions, and actually sitting down to talk together and be with your family. That's really some of the best advice that I can give parents, is to make sure that that is a priority in your home.
Well, I certainly do appreciate the focus back on the family and the time around the table. That is certainly not only a healthy activity, but emotionally, mentally, and physically as well. And we really appreciate your bringing focus to such an important, simple activity that we should take the steps to make sure it happens more often. So thanks for that. Now, how would listeners learn more and get additional tips and healthy recipes?
I'd love it if they could visit CabotCheese.com. That's Cabot's website, which is chock full of great recipes, a lot of family-friendly recipes. We've talked today about, you know, setting forth a meal plan and having a plan in place. We also have on our website 5-day menu planners, and I think those are a great place to start to get some ideas of some recipes and some menus that your family would enjoy. And if it's an overwhelming task to think about doing that 5 nights a week, just pick out two and set aside time this week to plan a menu and plan a day that you're going to eat together as a family. That's really where it all begins. My son said to me last night at dinner, you know, Mom, I don't really want to talk about my day at dinner, but when you're putting me to bed tonight, I'd love to talk about it. And had I not had that opportunity to hear that from him, I really would have missed an important opportunity to connect with my child. So that's what I hope for your listeners, is that they can find that way to connect with their families and reduce the stress in their own lives.
Again, Reagan, thanks so much for your time and for the valuable information and for spending a moment with us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly wish you all the best.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And you're most welcome. We've been speaking with Reagan Jones, a registered dietitian and culinary nutritionist with Cabot Creamery Cooperative. And again, for more information, simply visit cabotcheese.coop. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the health news and nutrition channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.